brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic day, staying warm inside. My name is Nathan Forlina, and today I am joined with Corey Geiger, the boss man over there. Corey, how we doing today?
Oh man, it's brutally cold. I'm ready. I'm ready for spring, buddy.
Well, it's supposed to warm up next week, but Phil told us we still got probably, what, 3 more weeks of this? So hopefully Phil was wrong.
Screw Phil. That guy's an a-hole.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like
I said yesterday. I'm so tired of Phil.
That is the sentiment for all Pennsylvanians and people across this country. We're sick and tired of Phil. How about we just get rid of the holiday? I'm sorry. Just get rid of it. Erase Groundhog's Day 2 with Bill Murray. And I hate that movie more than anything in the world.
You hate the movie?
I cannot stand the movie. It's just
now we got a problem.
I do not like that movie.
So
I really do.
What's the deal with the movie?
I don't know. I just never took a liking to it. Just everything about it. Just
all right.
There's some movies like that with me that I just can't get on board with, and that's one of them. I don't know if it's just the repetitiveness. I don't know what it is.
That's fascinating because I think Groundhog Day is one of the 10 greatest movies of all time for the concept.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the concept of being stuck in a never-ending loop. The original script for that had him living there every day over and over for 10,000 years. That's the concept. So we don't know exactly how long he was there in the movie, but could you imagine and some people's life is kind of like Groundhog Day.
Well, yeah,
people
say it all the time, just living through Groundhog, just repeat cycle and cycle. So,
exactly.
You know, hopefully my life doesn't end up like that one day because I'd hate doing, I guess people do the same job every day and they kind of have the same routine, but you gotta have a little bit of difference in your day. You can't do the same exact thing, same routine every day. You gotta try to mix it up a little bit because otherwise, for me at least, I'd get extremely bored and it'd get very repetitive.
Now listen, here's the thing. If every day were to be like, like June 10th or something.
Okay.
You know, June, it's not outrageously hot. You know, if every day were June 10th, that's one thing. If every day is February 2nd, I don't think most people would make it. If everybody had to wake up every day.
If you live in Central PA.
Central PA.
February 2nd.
Snow. The never-ending bleakness of winter. You're right. I don't think people
now
make,
what? Now, what if it's just rambling like a 45-degree day on that February?
Man, but see, 45, that's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's 81 degrees. That's not horrifically hot, but it's certainly not cold.
So what's the perfect temperature for you? Is 81 that ideal range you'd like?
I would say somewhere around 80, because
okay.
if you're close to 90, it's brutally hot. You can't get outside and do anything. And anything below 70, you know, can get chilly if you've got some wind. So if you got a nice 80-degree day, that's kind of why people move to Florida or Arizona, because they're looking for 80-degree temperatures.
I just started laughing in my head because I remember you in the summer saying how these days would be so hot and you could barely go outside now. Now we're talking about the extreme opposite where it's frigid cold. So
I got a note here from a guy that says, being a Jets fan is like
Groundhog Day. Well, for them, every year after year, they cannot get out of the cycle. But you know what isn't like Groundhog Day? Hearing Mike Lang's voice. And Mike Lang yesterday, longtime Pittsburgh Penguins announcer, passed away at the age of 76. Rest in peace to an absolute legend. We're going to play a couple clips just to hear that iconic voice one more time.
You know, I got to meet Mike about 10 years or so ago. He came to a Curve game for an appearance, and what I remember about Mike, he was just the most humble guy. I spent a good bit of time with him in the press box that day at People's Natural Gas Field, and when you talk about a legendary broadcaster. Hockey's not my thing. I didn't grow up with the Penguins. It's just not my thing. But I've known enough people who do love the game of hockey and respected Mike Lang to have been able to form about how truly legendary he was. Because he was, I'm going to play these clips here of some of his more memorable calls. Sport TSN, the ESPN up in Canada, they did a top 10 of Mike Lane calls a few years back. But here's the thing, Nathan, you know, now that you can see any game anywhere, we've talked about this a lot. You can watch any game in this country at any time. What gets lost there is that you fall in love with one team and one broadcaster and one way of doing it. You're never going to have that. You'll never have that in your life because you're watching national broadcasters. Every NFL game is national broadcasters. The Pirates are so terrible, why would you anybody watch them? Well, the Penguins, they had Mike Lang for the longest time, and they've kind of moved around since then. But growing up, old-time Pirates fans with the Gunner and certainly Steelers fans with Myron Cope, when you grow up with a broadcaster, that person is like your family. I was like this with Harry Carey with Chicago Cubs. I skipped school one day in 1987. Harry had been out after, I believe it was a stroke, and he missed the first couple months of the baseball season. And the day he came back, I skipped school to stay home to watch the broadcast. Ronald Reagan was on the broadcast. I mean, it was this isn't Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Tom Brady and all these folks. This was like family, these broadcasters.
They're local legends.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you think about that Pittsburgh area.
Yep.
For every sport, they have someone that you associate with. Obviously, the big one's Cope because of the terrible towel, but the Gunner and then Mike Lang, I mean, they're synonymous with these sports teams. So,
and I've said before, with all due respect, I couldn't stand Myron Cope. I thought he's the worst broadcaster in the history of ever. I got here in 99. I'm listening to the Steelers game on the radio. I'm like, what the hell is this? This guy is – what? How is he on the – well, I didn't know. I didn't know the story. I didn't know the double oi and all this stuff and the terror. I didn't know all that. So then you have to learn about it, and you realize he is a local legend because of time. Time, again, I still couldn't stomach Myron Cope. It was just not – it wasn't my kind of thing. But for Steelers fans who grew up listening to it, I mean, he was the Steelers in a lot of ways.
He was the Steelers, and a lot of people probably loved him more than they loved their family at some point.
Right.
So,
and yeah, I did find this clip of Mike Lang calls. We're going to play this for a few minutes. If anybody wants to call in, we were talking, talk about some of your favorite broadcasters or where Mike Lang fall. But these are some great Lang-isms. He had a way to spin these phrases, man.
Penguins reach in to get that puck. Crosby's pass to Marian Hossa. Stutter steps, goes into the Flyers' end. Through Bebo on fire, score! Oh, what a play by Hossa! He turns! Goaltender Baron inside out, and he just lost his liquor license.
Crosby looking. Lucid fly. Still a loose puck picked up by Lucky. And Sidney Crosby has scored his first goal ever in a Pittsburgh Penguins uniform. Oh, slap me silly, Sidney. Crosby's going to take it off Koskinen. He shoots and scores. Oh, slap me silly, Sidney. Malkin still on here from the power play. Walks out and shoots. Score! Evgeny Malkin from the right wing circle. And the Penguins take a 1-0 lead. Oh, shave my face with a rusty razor.
Here's Ulf Samuelsson shooting and scoring. He gets his second goal. Ulf Samuelsson gets the Penguins their sixth goal. Now he's smiling like a butcher's dog.
Over to Murphy. Shooting, scoring, deflected by Yager, I believe. Yager may have got a stick on it. The Penguins have taken an early 1-0 lead. Now Murphy and the fans are smiling like a butcher's dog.
Andrew takes a shot. They made rebound. Walker can't put it in. Score! Brown gets the goal. The Penguins get their fourth, and they lead 4-2. Oh, let's go hunt moose on a Harley.
Oh, scratch my back with a hacksaw.
Kurt McLean doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. And poor Theodore doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. Back now to Yager. Fires, he gets his third of the night. The hat trick for Yarmir Yager. And here come the hats. It's the Mellon Arena. Ladies and gentlemen, you got it, Elvis.
has just left the building.
There he is, Holden. Nelson scores as he beats Theodore like a rented mule. Joey Bonatanta by Van Brook, and he beats him like a rented mule. Yarmir Yager beats Luongo like a rented mule. Marty Straka beats Tommy Salo. He beat him like a rented mule. 5 seconds to go. Loose around to the far corner. 2 seconds. The Penguins are going to win the Stanley Cup, I believe. Stelios shoots it block. The Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. Oh, Lord Stanley. Lord Stanley, get me the brandy.
I like the smiling like a butcher's dog. Did you have anyone? Lord Stanley, get me the brandy. That was pretty good. And he was known for beat him like a rented mule. He said that one a lot.
I think the Elvis one's always iconic. Yeah. Elvis, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. That's probably my number one Mike Lang right there.
And you know, I didn't know much about him. Again, I got to spend an evening with him one time. That's not the human being. I mean, when you listen to somebody like that, you're thinking. You're thinking you're running into Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack, like this just completely cartoonish kind of character who's just crazy and bizarre. The Mike Lang I spent time with was, again, very soft-spoken, humble, quiet. He died at 76. This is 10 years ago. He was about 66 at the time. I will say this. I don't say this to be mean. He was 66. He looked like he was 85. I mean, he was a very aged looking man, from life. But you would never, spending time with him and people I've talked to over the years about Mike, you would never associate all those crazy calls with just this humble guy walking down the street.
It's like whenever they get in the booth, they just turn into a different person.
Yeah, right.
It's like athletes, you have that mindset where
just you know, like you, you're a completely different person outside the
am
studio.
I?
No.
I'm about to say I think I portray myself pretty much identical to how I am. Outside.
Yeah, me too. I like
hey,
that.
That's how you should always be authentic. I think that's always the best way to go about it. So
yeah. So Nathan is gonna take over today. What do you got on tap? What floats your boat today?
So we got a couple things. We were big into traveling on Tuesday. Corey, of course, went down to Florida for a week, decided to leave all of us behind in the, you know, cold and crappy weather. But I was thinking about travel, you know, trying to actually tie some sports into our traveling. So I was going to see if there's any stadiums people have been wanting to go to. Is there a wish list? They could even be destroyed right now because there are plenty of stadiums that I would have loved to visit back in the 1930s, 40s. But obviously, I wasn't around back then. So my first question is, Corey, do you have a single stadium that is on your bucket list? You obviously have been to a ton. Is there one that still sticks out that you wish to get to?
And let's give the phone number to
946-0435.
Yeah, anybody
call on in.
Want to weigh in on this? And by the way, if anybody wants to talk about Mike Lang and Pittsburgh broadcasting, we can do that as well. But I consider myself very fortunate that the places I truly wanted to go to, I was able to go to. I grew up as a Chicago Cubs fan. I went to Wrigley a number of times. We would drive up from Arkansas.
How long a drive was that?
It was from what I can remember, maybe 12, 14 hours or something like that. That actually wasn't my favorite place to go. We would go to the Astrodome in Houston to watch games, too.
I have that on my list here, Astrodome.
There you go. That's good.
What they call them, the eighth wonder of the world?
Yeah. I remember going to Wrigley, and that was special being a Cubs fan, but I didn't love being there. Does that make sense?
What about it didn't you like being
there? Well,
I mean, obviously the experience
is crowded and old, and the last time I went, it was in early May, and this was probably somewhere around 95, give or take, 94, 95. I went out like on May 8th or 10th, and we went to a night game, and I didn't bring any pants and hoodie or anything like that, and we sat in the wind coming off the lake at Wrigley. It was like 40 degrees and it was just brutally cold. And I was kind of miserable there. So unfortunately my last memory.
Do you ever want to go back out? Is that something?
I don't. Okay. I just know this. I really don't care about Major League Baseball at all. I mean, I'm the kid that never missed a game on TV for 20 years. You can't get me to watch a Major League Baseball. So
that's insane.
Yeah,
me.
It is. So from that standpoint, but another huge one I always wanted to go to was the Carrier Dome. Being a Syracuse basketball fan, My wife and I, we used to go to Syracuse a bunch, at least once a year. I've sat on the very top row for Syracuse Georgetown with 34,000 people there. So for me, a venue, meeting an athlete, unless it means something to me personally, I really, you know, the Rose Bowl was cool, and I've been there three times, but it didn't mean anything to me personally. I didn't grow up watching Big Ten football and hoping my team got to the Rose Bowl. So for me, seeing places where my teams played and I could recognize from TV, those were the venues that I truly wanted to see.
Interesting. All right, so I got a few on my list right here. So the one, it's not modern sports, but I think the Roman Coliseum would be fantastic to visit. I just think that the entire, and that's somewhere I want to go, is I want to go to Rome, I want to go to Italy, just explore it, because everything's so ancient there, and there's just so much history there. So I know technically it's not a modern sports facility, and, you know, there's zero events that would ever take place in it nowadays, but I feel like that'd be an awesome place to go.
That would be neat. Very, very different kind of place. But I want to ask you this, because this is a good list. I'm looking forward to your list. You're a young person. Carefree attitude. You want to go to foreign countries and things like that? Is that something that
Italy might be the only one I want to go to?
Why is that?
My family's Italian.
Okay.
And again, it's just the history of it. I feel like it'd be awesome to go look. And maybe just all of Europe, actually, now I think about it. Like, there's not one specific place I want to go, but everything's so close and compact there.
I have a fear of going places where nobody speaks English. I won't do it. I just won't do it.
I feel like there's still a majority of people that at least know a little bit English.
Do they? I mean, from what I can gather in Europe, I don't know anybody speaks English in Germany. Maybe they can point you in the right direction.
That's
here
what I mean.
There.
I think you can get on the same page.
But I've always had that fear, though, of being in an area where you can't communicate with anybody. And then, like, if something goes wrong or, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
It probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because most people would love to go to Europe. It's like, oh, I can't wait to do this or that or whatever. But if you put me in France, I mean, I would want to go up the Eiffel Tower and leave. And leave France. I really wouldn't feel comfortable walking around Paris.
It'd be different. It'd be an experience.
Yeah,
I'll give you that for sure.
It would
definitely be an experience. But I think, especially with modern technology now, I think you can probably get it done.
That's probably true.
It won't be a much of an issue. You mentioned it, the Rose Bowl, I would love to go out to, just because it is that iconic. It doesn't even have to be Penn State playing there, but I just want to go just kind of see the aura and then the just vibe around it.
That is a good one, because that is worth it. The Rose Bowl, I've been to most of them, you know, a lot of the great college football facilities in the country. The Rose Bowl is just different. The setting is different.
It looks just like such a crappy venue.
You're in the middle of a neighborhood. It's crazy. You got all these neighborhoods around, and then there's the Rose Bowl. But it's so gorgeous. What you see on TV truly is what you get there.
Definitely one I want to go to. Lambeau. I feel like Lambeau, if I watch, this is the only NFL stadium I believe I have on my list. Just because, again, it's kind of just stuck in time. The entire city of Green Bay is just so small and compact, and that's something that it's almost like a high school type stadium in this, or even a college town stadium, where it's just kind of planted in the middle of the city. You're like, you'd never see this in a Pittsburgh, you never see this in a Philadelphia or anything like that. So that's another one right there. I do have Wrigley, just because of the history, 1914, whenever it's opened, I believe. So it's been around forever. Then I also have Fenway on it, because Fenway, I feel like I'd go to Fenway 10 times out of 10 over Wrigley, just because, I don't know if it's because the Red Sox appeal to me more.
Right, but you have a personal connection or something.
I don't have a personal, I don't even have, but I just feel like there's something different about Wrigley and Fenway, if that makes sense.
And I have no desire to go to Fenway, because I've heard it's a dump. I've heard it's an absolute dump. And so, again, and quite frankly, look, I'm not making, Beaver Stadium is a dump. It is. That's why they're spending $700 million to redo it. So I guess for me, I'm old, man. This sounds terrible. But I would just rather be comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying I want season tickets.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
I want to go and experience it.
Because I went to Wrigley, probably makes me not necessarily care about Fenway, but a lot of people are probably like you, especially in the Northeast. They would rather go to Fenway.
I feel like that's probably the bucket list one, considering that my next day month's list doesn't no longer exist. I got Old Yankee Stadium. Again,
right.
Just kind of legends walk played on that field.
You had the Astrodome on your list.
The Astrodome's
why
the last
was that?
One. I think because it's the eighth wonder of the world, because it was such a big deal, the time it opened in just, again, I feel like that's something you go there and you'd almost be stuck in a moment in history, just the way the way these venues were constructed back in the 60s and 70s, you know, Three Rivers, Riverfront, all these types of stadiums where veterans stay, all of them, where it's just almost like a cookie cutter, where it's just a big circle, multi-purpose. You can just picture it. You can picture the grainy photographs of it, and I feel like it'd be so cool.
Now, have you been to PNC?
Yeah, I've been to PNC.
PNC is absolutely spectacular.
PNC is the most beautiful ballpark in the MLB right now.
It's still, and that we're talking 20 years later. You know, usually when someplace opens, it may have that for 4 or 5 years. It's still absolutely gorgeous. I went to Three Rivers a number of times for Pirates and Curve events. I didn't mind it. I thought it was pretty cool. It was still a good baseball field. It was still comfortable. The turf and everything. I thought it was a pretty cool venue. Now they were ancient and they had to modernize things so that for suites and all that stuff and PNC. But I didn't mind. Did you ever? Well, you wouldn't have been.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
you
been alive. Have been old enough, I think got demolished in 01. So yeah, I wasn't around yet. I do have the previous one, Forbes Field too. I feel like it'd be kind of cool to look at because I always picture Forbes without the right field seating. So whenever it was literally just like a ballpark, it's almost like People's Natural Gas Field where there's like no outfield seating.
Right.
And I feel like that is also so cool for venues whenever – I feel like all these – I believe they call them jewel box stadiums or whatever, which were just planted in the middle of the cities almost. I feel like they'd all be really cool to visit, so you can put a number of them on there. I also have Ebbets Field because obviously iconic, one of the most iconic venues. And probably my number one, I guess, modern stadium I want to visit is the Polo Grounds in New York, because the Polo Grounds were such a unique stadium where you had 500-foot center.
500, yep.
And then you got the Willie Mays catch out there. You can point exactly where he did. That'd be awesome. Obviously, I know.
I like that you're good with the history element of it.
I got so fascinated for stadiums for years where I just deep dive research in these stadiums because they were all, whether it was the funding for them or the reasons they got tore down and just the history and time throughout it. I always thought it was fascinating.
All right, we got Curtis on the phone line from Altoona. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, Corey, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Oh, I had a couple ideas. I mean, I almost got into Fenway. I was working away years ago back in the early 80s. We decided to lay over and get a Red Sox game, and then it rained.
So
I'd love to go to Fenway. I'd love to see Forbes Field. But a friend of mine, Dave Shannon, says the place was a real dump. And you couldn't see anything. You're usually behind a girder. But two things I thought was pretty cool. When I was a little boy, my dad was going up to Penn State to see about getting a job. He's laid off the railroad. Went up there, and we saw Beaver Field.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't Beaver Stadium.
Right.
It was Beaver Field.
Was it pretty small from what you recall?
It looked like a glorified high school football field.
Uh-huh.
Mansion Park would dwarf it, I'm telling you.
Wow, how about that? That's crazy.
Imagine nowadays.
Yeah, and the baseball, I would have loved to have seen Cricket Field. I would have loved to have seen that. If you've ever seen pictures of that?
No, I have not.
I'm going to pull up a picture of it.
There's a little restaurant there on about 29th Street on, I don't know, in the one little area of town there. I don't know what it's called. It's around Fifth Avenue somewhere. They have old pictures and stuff. But Cricket Field, because anybody has any old pictures of Cricket Field, you got to try to check that out.
Nathan and I are both Googling it right now to look for some photos. That's good.
That's just kind of like a legendary spot in Altoona where it just you can't imagine that it was once a venue. You can't imagine it because, I mean, I think that's where, Wendy's is, right, where Rite Aid is. Isn't that where it's at?
Wendy's, the Cricket Field Plaza.
Yeah.
I mean, it was below the Altoona Hospital. It was, like, and extended on out toward the, I guess, toward the railroad. And there was a lot of stuff there that's, I mean, it took, yeah.
And I'm trying to see when was that kind of, when did that go away?
That was in the early part of the century, maybe into the 30s.
30s, yeah. I'm trying to look here about the history.
It said 1870 and 1960. But
1960.
I don't think it was around till 19. Might have been, though.
Well, that's where one of the legends, Babe Ruth, came and hit a home run there.
Yeah, that's insane. Babe Ruth hit a home run there.
I guess a lot of Babe Ruth and Gehrig, and there was a lot of Bob Feller was there because I had met Bob Feller from Cooperstown, and he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Altoona area." And he goes, "I pitched the Crooked Field ballpark.
Isn't that great?"
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Met Bob Feller, and he said, "I pitched against Negro League players, and they beat our ass."
That's great. What a great story, man. It's because, you know, the barnstorming days, these guys didn't make $1 million per week back then. They had to actually get out and have jobs and come to places like Cricket Field in Altoona, Pennsylvania to make some extra money.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, check out Cricket Field.
Good stuff, brother. That's great, man. Appreciate it. 946-0435. A-Dog wants to talk to Mike Lang. What's going on, my man?
Well, I'll tell you, Corey, it's a lot cooler here than it was in Clearwater the last couple of days. Holy smoke.
That's good, yep.
But anyway, just to piggyback off your last caller, I remember Beaverfield is located right behind the current Jeffrey Field location where the soccer team plays for Penn State.
Do you remember it being that small?
It was smaller. I mean, it was all outdoor. There were very few seats.
Yep.
And football Saturdays, that's where the state police helicopter used to land and take off all the time.
What did they use it for? Like, what all did they use it for? Do you remember?
Well, they just used it. It was solely a baseball facility.
I mean,
there was just an outfield. There was an infield, of course, and that was back in the day where, you know, that side of the university wasn't fully developed, much like it is today.
Could you imagine, could you imagine people getting in their DeLorean from 100 years ago and coming to Penn State now and seeing the stadium, seeing the Jordan Center, seeing the Ice Arena? I mean, people would be blown away because from everything I know about the history of Penn State, it truly was in the middle of nowhere in just agricultural territory, and that's just all it was. And now Penn State, you know, the campus itself is a behemoth.
Oh, it's very true, Corey. I mean, my time working there at Pagula Ice Arena, that used to be a chicken farm there before it was Pagula Ice Arena.
You can just see farms out
everywhere.
If you're on top of Beaver Stadium, you look out, you can see farms. Like, it's such
a
random
really
spot.
Could.
Yeah, that's right.
You really could. But anyway, with Langer, I mean, Langer and Borky, they were the number one and two. They started TV and then they got off to the radio, and there just wasn't a better announcer in hockey than I feel was Lang.
What did you like about Lang, A-Dog? Because from what I can gather, you know, going back into the early 80s, and I saw Mario Lemieux say something to the effect of, you know, he kept interest in the Penguins when there was no reason for people to be interested in the Penguins. You would be interested because of Mike Lang.
Well, you know, Corey, back when, you know, you didn't have much TV, it was all radio. And if Lang, he made you feel like you were there. He really did. With every call, you could just see the puck going up and down. And then, you know, God forbid, when the Pens scored, he always came up with one of his phrase sayings, right?
Did you have a favorite? What was your favorite?
Oh, there's several, but at the very end of the day, back in the day, he couldn't say very much, but, you know, Elvis has just left the building,
uh-huh,
of course. But, no, just Pittsburgh sports has been very, very fortunate over the years to have broadcasters that they've had, you know, with Lange and Myron Cope, as much as his voice drove me crazy, and Lanny Fitari, Bob Prince, all those guys. They've just been really, really fortunate, that city, with the announcers they've had.
Good stuff, my man. Appreciate the call, brother. Good stuff.
All right, so we're going to hop on a break, then we'll get Steve on the other side.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years.
Good.
Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family.
Go back to
we
that
sell
stadium
great cigars,
thing.
Great pipe
he
blends.
He wants to talk Mike Lang. Go
lounge,
back to the stadium
smoke,
thing, too.
Enjoy
I think
yourself.
We can probably
Boswell
get some
Pipes
calls
is
on that,
located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA.
We
are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back here to Sports Central today. My name is Nathan Forlana. Hopefully everybody's having a fun time listening in. Got some great conversations today, obviously talking about the legendary Mike Lang and his passing. Then we were also discussing a little bit about sports venues and some sports venues you might want to visit and what is on your bucket list. So if you want to let us know about that or you want to talk about Lange, 946-0435. We have a caller who wants to talk a little Mike Lang here. How you doing today?
Steve, you're up, buddy. Go ahead. Steve, you still with us? Ah, we lost Steve.
Steve has left the building.
So. We do have Dan. Dan wants to talk stadiums.
Dan, how are we doing today?
Good, good, Nate and Corey. Yeah, now the most beautiful stadium was Dodger Stadium in the ravine and everything. And when you catch it at a certain time of the day and sunset and things, there's no way in the world. It just adds to the stadium. Then San Diego Stadium was just another stadium. And then the best stadium for accommodation for people was Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta. I mean, you had plenty of leg room no matter where you sit in the whole stadium. Even out in the bleacher section, it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I seen a couple of baseball games there and a football game, and it was just unbelievable, the space and everything. Nobody was bumping into each other. You had elbow room. And then, Corey, you're absolutely right. You said you never had no desire to go to Fenway Park. Well, my first time at Fenway Park was in 1964, August of 1964. You're absolutely right. It was dilapidated for sure.
it was a dump 60 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my, yes. But the thing of it is, then the last time I was in there for a while was in 1967, and then it was 5 or 6 years later. Then it was, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it was the same stadium. And they were still working on it at the time. And then probably in the late 80s or 90s, then it was really, really nice. They did a lot. But I can remember the first few games, the first couple of 3 years, I can remember there wasn't even 500 people total. Total. I mean, that's everybody. That's the janitor, the rats, the mice, and everything. It was just unbelievable, you know. And another real good place. Well, there's a lot of history at Fenway Park. See, then I was like Nate said, he liked to see an old Yankee Stadium. See, well, Yankee Stadium, there was a lot of history. Then it was unique. They had them statues out in center field. See, and everything that really added to it. But if they didn't have them there, it would be a little bit different. It had a different shape to it, Yankee Stadium and everything. But another real good place, a lot of history, was the Boston Garden with the Pacquet Four they had there. See, that was absolutely beautiful.
What'd you like about the garden?
Oh, the floor by sure. But other than that, it was nothing but a concrete dungeon. You know how Rec Hall is. You know, like that. It was nothing to brag about, except for the floor. And the floor just did this wonders to you. See, it was great, and everything. The top two on my list would be like Dodger Stadium because of the view and everything. But it gets really, really hot out there, though. Terrible hot. I mean, you can't. If you're from the east or something, not used to that heat, it'll kill you. For just like you went to Wrigley Stadium and you froze to death sitting there.
It was rough.
For real. Hey, thank you, Dan. Appreciate your call and love hearing the insight about, you know, the old Boston days between the Garden and Fenway. It's super fascinating.
I would have enjoyed the old Boston Garden to see what it was like.
You never went there.
I never went there. And he mentioned L.A. The Dodgers. I can imagine. Dan, you still with us?
Yeah.
I would imagine Dodger Stadium is probably like the Rose Bowl with the scenery. I don't know if you've been to the Rose Bowl, but the Rose Bowl, it's just so beautiful with the sun and everything and being in L.A. From what I see on TV, what do you think, Nathan? Do you see a similarity maybe between Dodger Stadium and what you see from the Rose Bowl on TV?
Yeah, and I just feel like the way everything's constructed there,
right.
You can see the perfect sunset.
Right.
And then you always see their games are on 9 o'clock at night, and you just see the sunset over there because it's different times and everything. It's just so majestic, it feels like, compared to Altoona.
Majestic. Are we on base there, Dan, you think, with the Rose Bowl comparison to L.A.?
There's no question about Dodger Stadium. And then the only thing, the Rose Bowl, I've just seen pictures. But Dodger Stadium is located more towards the mountains. You have to turn it a little bit, see, compared to the Rose Bowl as far as pitchers I've seen. You just, because it hits your, I mean, if you're right behind home plate, and it doesn't matter where you're at, behind home plate, the first five or six rows, I mean, it's just breathtaking. Just like Nate said, when the sun sets and things, the time difference and things, it's just breathtaking. It just is. That's the most beautiful. But then again, like I say, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was by far any stadium I've ever been in.
I'm going to come back to that in a minute, Dan, with Fulton County Stadium. Appreciate the call. We got Steve up next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? I'm not really a big hockey guy, but I would, you know, because of the Penguins winning back in the early 90s and stuff with Lemieux and Yager, I would watch it then because they were winning. But some of the phrases that Michael Lang would say was mainly, along with that, the reason why I would watch as well. But two of my favorite things he would say was Michael motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And another phrase he would say is buy Uncle Sam a drink and get his dog one too. Those were two of my personal favorites. So you can only imagine his voice saying it. I couldn't come close to saying it, but yeah, those were two of my favorites.
That's so interesting to me that we associate these phrases with just iconic people, and everybody, especially our sports announcers for our favorite teams, just,
yeah.
You hear something, and you can just hear them say it, which is insane to me that and that goes across all sports. I mean, Mike Lang, obviously, Cope, obviously, like all these sports announcers that you listen to for years and years. And again, I don't have as much of it because I'm growing up at a different time, but especially for my parents' age and beyond, all these sports announcers on the radio, you just hear these iconic voices.
Mine was Harry Carey. Holy cow! Cubs win! Cubs win! And I know you can't stand Dick Vitale, but
can.
Dick Vitale in the 80s, oh, baby, he's a diaper dandy! I mean, Dick Vitale made college basketball a national sport.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Steve? I think we lost Steve there. All right. We got a couple of way on. I want to mention this here real quick. Dan mentioned Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. I watched him a lot growing up on WTBS, Dale Murphy, in the early 80s. Dan mentioned something that's important to me, and that's comfort and ability to spread out and all of that. To me, People's Natural Gas Field is such a gem here. And I felt this since 99 when it opened as Blair County Ballpark. There's so much space. The concourse is huge. You've got a lot of room. You're not compacted in with a lot of people. Reading has one of the great minor league baseball facilities in the country. I hated going there. It's so compact. Everything was just jammed in together. Look, I'll be perfectly honest with you. No way in hell would I want to go watch a football game at Penn State. No way. You couldn't pay me to go watch a game with 110,000 people crammed in. After what I just experienced in Punxsutawney, where I'm stuck with these damn people for 2 hours and I can't move, under no circumstance do I want to be crammed with 110,000 people when it's 25 or 30 degrees or in the rain and it's a dump under. So again, I grew up as a Cubs fan. I didn't like going to Wrigley. Maybe I'm spoiled, but I want comfort. So when he mentioned Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, it just immediately made me think of People's Natural Gas Field because we are so fortunate to have a venue here. And anybody listening close to the State College area, Medlar Field, Lebrano Park is the exact same way. When they built it and Chuck Greenberg built it, they wanted the exact same thing they had in Altoona. A lot of space. I want to be able to move around. I want to be able to feel comfortable for a lot of years. I don't go to Curve games anymore, but I'd take my kids. We'd walk around, and you're just so comfortable. So when it's interesting. Everybody has these ideas of what makes for a great stadium and the history and all that stuff. I truly just want to be comfortable wherever I go.
What was fascinating to me, and I was going to touch on it if I didn't get a chance, was the fact that Fulton County Stadium was that comfortable whenever it was built in the 70s or whatever. I mean, again, those are the
one of those cookie cutters.
Yeah, it was one of the cookie cutters in which you were just trying to basically get – and, I mean, there was going to be 70,000 seats in a baseball stadium because that's what they needed for football.
And I didn't know that about what Dan was talking about. I watched hundreds of games on TV, on TBS in the early – I didn't know Fulton County Stadium was all that comfortable.
Didn't it catch on fire one time?
It did, yeah.
I vaguely remember seeing a clip
of that. I did visit Turner Field.
Turner Field. That was built for the Olympics first, right?
Yes, and I covered some games at Turner Field in 1998 between the Cubs and the Braves. I was covering a minor league team in Virginia for the Braves, so I went down to Atlanta to do a series of stories on players who had played minor league ball in the town, one of whom was John Rocker, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, he's getting a little boxing max right now.
Is he really? He's back in the news all the time.
Well, I think him and Mahomes Sr. sanctioned they're going to do a boxing
match. Is that right?
I'm almost paused.
Rocker's a bad dude. I mean, he's a jerk.
Isn't he one of the most hated?
I wouldn't want to mess with him. But I happened to go down there. There was him. There was Esteban Loaiza, maybe, or Esteban Yon, one of those two, and Andrew Jones. Okay. So I did a series of stories, and I picked a series where they were playing the Cubs. Kerry Wood was pitching against Greg Maddux one day. So it was just incredible. But Turner Field was a great place. And again, I put it into that. And PNC Park is like this too. Very comfortable. You have a lot of room to move around.
That comfortability is a big thing. It's a big thing. I just looked it up. So it said the fight was a stage promotion for the April boxing match between the two. So that little confrontation they had during the Super Bowl week.
They're going to fight in April.
Apparently. And
I wouldn't mess with John Rocker, man.
I wouldn't either.
He's a bad dude. We got Dave. Dave on the line. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Corey. How you doing?
All right, pal. What's going on with you, man?
For me, there's emotional attachment to certain places. I love the history of certain places. I'm a old-time runner. I was in Delaware for a period of time, and a group of people, the guys that I ran with all the time, and we were somewhat serious for our level, we would go up to in April, and to me that was when warm weather started to hit, really warm weather. We'd go up and take like 2 or 3 days for work, and we'd go up to the Penn Relays and old Franklin Field. And it was tremendous because you didn't get charged.
Right.
You would just walk in and you'd see some great sporting events, great track and field, 10,000 meters, all those kind of things. And it was just tremendous in terms of Benjamin Franklin High School, some of the Philly schools, the Catholic schools. And it was just a tremendous track and field festival. If you were into it, that was a place to be in April. The place I would love to visit would be Hayward Field at University of Oregon, where you had world records set, Steve Prefontaine, all those types of just amazing athletes.
So you're big
in terms of
you're a big track guy
running in Oregon.
You're a big track guy. You're a big track guy then.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Because they used to have a marathon associated with Penn Relays, open marathon. But the cool part was you finished on the track at Franklin Field, which is actually way, way back where the Eagles played in Philadelphia before Veterans Stadium.
I like that. I like hearing about different kinds of things. Like we're talking NFL and baseball stadiums and all that, but everybody's got and I'll tell one after the break. I'll tell another one, but a track venue. And one thing Dave said there that caught my ear was free. It's free to get in.
Oh man, anywhere you get free, I'd go. I would go for sure.
Nothing's free anymore, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, a somewhat disturbing story if you want to look at it from that perspective. On those days, this is like 19 early 70s. There was very little checking of what you brought into the stadium.
Yeah.
And I remember my father and his best friend, Art Miller, would bring one of those circular Igloo coolers like you pour drinks from.
Yeah.
And it was orange juice and vodka.
Nice.
They'd sit there the entire game drinking and then attempt to drive home with kids in the car.
You're sharing too much information.
We're name dropping out here. We're name dropping.
I don't know if the statute of limitations on DUI has run out.
Well, that's
once again, shout out Patrick Mahomes Sr.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You could walk and nobody checked. And the other funny part of the statement, which is still true, the urinal, there were no individual urinals, and this is probably too much information. What it was a slated floor, like an angled floor. And it was a trough around the outside. So everything just went down to the end where there was this big drain.
Hey, this is great. Look.
This insight.
We are going to give insight here. Because, look, how many of you know women out there that go to Penn State football games who have no idea what a men's restroom is like at Beaver Stadium? I've explained for 20 years. Yeah, you just go pee in like a giant trough next to a bunch of dudes. And every woman I've ever, and if there's any women out there listening, I'm sorry to get graphic, but this is real. But every woman I've ever told that to that didn't know, they're like, ew, gross. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But
I haven't gone to the bathroom at Beaver Stadium ever.
You've never gone to the bathroom at Beaver Stadium?
Listen, I take pride. I can hold my bladder.
Did you know that there's just
giant
troughs?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because that's, I mean, you walk in, it's like, oh my God, how dilapidated is this?
It feels crazy.
75 years ago, I'm peeing next to 40 dudes just standing right next to them, elbow to elbow.
Well, the other thing, too, was in December, you've got like 5 layers on, and you're trying to peel all those layers off.
Oh, man.
To some extent, maybe because it was a small room, so to speak, and you had warm bodies, it was sometimes in December, it was the warmest part of the friggin' stadium.
And look, we're not trying to be graphic here. I'm sitting here telling you, for those of you who have never been to a game at Penn State, and especially women, there are a huge number of people that have no idea what the men's bathrooms are like and how disgusting
they
are at Beaver Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember Franklin Field. I mean, you get to the end of a game in a warm summer day or whatever, it was a little brutal. It was a little brutal.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. Great insight right there from a different perspective and venue right there from track field. So we got to take a break. We'll finish up, and then we got to take another break after the end of the side. So we're running short on time here, but we appreciate all the calls.
Pitbull has ended his ownership agreement with Trackhouse Racing, Mr. Worldwide, and that's effective immediately. He had been the co-owner of the team with Justin Marks. The recording artist said, quote, over the past 5 years, we've made history by introducing NASCAR to a whole new audience and falling in love with NASCAR fans at the same time. We have made the decision to terminate the partnership with Trackhouse Racing, effective immediately, end quote. Trackhouse Racing fields 3 full-time Cup Series entries for Ross Chastain, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Daniel Suarez, with a floating 4th entry, the number 91 car that was driven by Elio Castroneves in the Daytona 500. Chase Briscoe's got a massive hole to dig out of before the season really even began. NASCAR has thrown the book at the number 19 team as they found modifications to the spoiler on his Daytona 500 race car. The L2 penalty carries a 100-point deduction for the driver, plus 10-point playoff loss. Same goes for team owner Joe Gibbs Racing, plus a $100,000 fine. Crew chief James Small has been suspended for the next month, 4 Cup Series races, and this drops Chase Briscoe from 10th in the point standings to dead last by a lot. The spoiler of the car, by the way, is a single-sourced part and cannot be modified. Joe Gibbs Racing will appeal. This is the final lap.
We're definitely going to be late to the concert. I feel like we should be there by now.
I'm just taking a little detour. I got to fill up my gas tank, and I know this place a couple towns over where the gas is cheaper.
Are you serious? We're going to be late for the concert because you're driving out of the way for cheaper gas? Just use Upside.
What's Upside?
Upside is the free cash back app that gets you real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, I can get cash back just for buying the gas I need anyway?
Yes, I use it all the time, and I've made around $200. Now pull over so you can download the Upside app before we miss the concert.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAFFIC25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or as a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code TRAFFIC25.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell. Well, himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Nothing says old-time ballparks like Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park better than a J.M. Boswell's paper cigar. If you ever need one, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Always open online and check them out during the store hours. Look them up online. They are fantastic if you are in need of a Piper cigar.
I like it. You're heading to an old venue. You got to stop and get you a cigar.
If you need one. It's perfect. It's perfect.
This is a great topic. Nathan came up with this today. There's one more I want to mention. I thought about this earlier. I went to the Hoosier Gym in Indiana where they filmed Hoosiers, and I had a
fantastic movie.
The gym, the small one, the tiny gym. You can walk in. It's free. You can play basketball there. Have I ever told you the story?
No.
We'll have to do this some other time. I was covering a Penn State Purdue game a couple years ago, and I drove, and I didn't know this place existed. You pull in. It's like a little museum. They've got movie stuff in the lobby, but you can walk in there and shoot baskets.
That's awesome.
And the gym looks exactly like it does in the movie. It's just tiny, and everything is in good shape. They have tournaments there, but you can just walk in and shoot. It's unbelievable.
Did you dress up in the uniforms?
No, but I did a little crossover, and I hit an elbow jumper and said, I'll make it, like Jimmy Chitwood did.
That's a fantastic. I need to go back and watch it. It's been a couple years. Usually around like March, I get the itch to watch it because of March Madness.
So. I'll make it. It's one of my kids are tired of seeing that scene because Gene Hackman calls up a play for somebody else to shoot the ball, and Jimmy goes, I'll make it. So I have a T-shirt there I bought that says, I'll make it.
Such an iconic movie.
Sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99 and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
This was such a fun conversation today. I love talking sports stadiums. Again, I don't know what my fascination is with them. Maybe it's just the history of it, but to hear where people want to go in these iconic venues, because you think about how many games you watch on TV where these teams are playing at these venues, and then you finally go out together. I mean, whether it's your favorite team or just completely random team, it's just so awesome to go see different parks, stadiums, whatever.
And I will reiterate one more time how fortunate we are to have an incredible baseball facility here. You've been to many Curve games over the
years? Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
For a town this size, to have that facility is truly unbelievable. I mean, for a small city this size to have one of the best minor league facilities in the country, I've thought this since 1999. I do still think so today. It's truly remarkable.
I mean, yeah, if you compare it to other minor league stadiums, it's night and day. It's beautiful.
Especially what existed before. You were talking about cookie cutter major league stadiums before, but what existed in minor league baseball in like the 70s, it was crap, garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of just crappy old, you know, rundown types of facilities. This was more the new modern era of minor league baseball stadiums when they built it, and they absolutely hit a home run. So anytime we talk stadiums, I always want to make sure to mention that.
Yeah, absolutely. So appreciate all your calls today. Corey will be here the next couple days. I will not be here until next Tuesday. So sorry you don't have to hear my voice for the next 5 days, but I'll be back.
Hey, you did a good job. You know what you've stopped saying?
100%.
100%.
I haven't said 100% in a while.
There we go. That's great.
There we go. We'll take
it.
I
love it.
Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.